The next submitter is the Fortuna Group Limited, on behalf of a whole bunch of submitters. If you want to come up and stick yourselves at the submitter's table. Sorry, just plugging my computer in. So good afternoon and welcome. We've looked at all of those submissions, believe it or not, but I see you've tabled some extra information and you just want to lead us through that.
That's correct. Great. Good afternoon, Commissioners.
Good afternoon.
I'd firstly like to introduce myself as Andy Hunt. I've been involved with Dairy NZ doing farm FEPs up in Canterbury for the last 2 years. And have recently moved to Fortuna as a business development manager. I'm sure you all know David Dudansky, so from Fortuna Group as well. Thank you for, firstly, I just want to acknowledge the submitters previously today, that they've all been really quality submissions, and that we concur with a lot of the submissions that have been put in front of the panel, that Hamish has raised some very valid points, and being a large corporate farmer such as ourselves, his issues are very similar to ours. I'd also like to commend also ES for the work that they're putting in behind the water and land plan. There's some really quality global work going on, and we want to encourage them to continue along these lines, certainly around our water. What I thought we'd cover for us, and I'm sure there's lots of questions you'd like to ask David, but firstly the financial implication that I've seen in Canterbury, and also that I think will duly roll down into Southland. And that's the cost of compliance, the consents, and the consultancy. But also, worryingly, the ongoing cost of monitoring and putting in place some of these measuring tools. And just like to reference Regen, which is a company that specialises in these monitoring techniques, and to put in the monitoring system is about $8,200. And that's an upfront cost, sunk cost, and then to data store and to continually update this, it's another almost $3,000. So this is an annual cost of $3,000. So when you're looking on a per farm basis, the cost certainly gets up there pretty quickly. So one of our overriding recommendations is to do with basically the consents, how are they actually entitized, and Environment Canterbury has used an entity basis where community groups or irrigation groups can come together and send out a consent, one consent, and basically nutrient transfer or move the nutrients around, which we strongly recommend and would be a huge help for an entity-based, consent-based process. David, have you got anything to...
One overriding consent.
Yeah. And the other thing is that we've just, in terms of best practice and keeping the whole this whole process, that we do really strongly recommend that it's simple, that the methodologies are well spelled out, with no grey areas in terms of what actually is best practice or what is the terminology or the definitions involved. The stronger definitions that are involved, the less likelihood that there's going to be comeback further on down the track, which will delay the implementation of the water and land plan. We support consents. We think that consents are a good way forward on this process. But backing also up with that is also farm environment plans. And I've also been involved with whole farm plans, which Dairy NZ also are implementing. And these are a mapping system going forward. It's really focusing on values and business practices, very strong business practices, which are supported by your nutrient management plans, your financials, and fundamental keys for businesses, for driving good business. One area that David has talked about quite a bit is also best practice, and not all farms are operating at the same level. And David, you've got some pretty clear views about that, haven't you?
Yeah, compliance is absolutely bare minimum. Best practices is obviously a lot better than that, but we need to have farmers operating in even a better environment than just best practice. The hard part on that one is to show them how. Give them the why, show them how, and chances are they'll do. Majority of them. Not all of them. That's the ones that won't do that, that's when you've got to catch them with a consent.
So, yeah, standardising good practice and also following up with some really good leadership from the ES, and how do we do this, why do we do this, and these are best practice that we want. I'd like to concur with Hamish about conflicting management styles. For example, we have a situation where streams, the best practice for managing a stream is to only to plant down one side of a stream, yet we know from a nutrient filtration position that it's actually good practice to have both sides being planted and to be mitigated. So we need to have some very clear policies set around that aren't conflicting. The other thing is, just looking at my notes here, sorry about that.
That's all right.
So that's pretty much, there's just in terms of, you made a comment on Monday about overseer, is that the best model? And we just want to make a comment with regard to swaying too much away from the national collective and what is good practice and having it individualised within Southland. If we sway too much away from what the nation is doing, the rest of the regional councils are doing, then we run the risk of actually not having the competencies to fill those gaps, and that there is not, there's only 42 certified nutrient managers here in Southland, which is a question you asked the other day. Well, if you regionalise that and have it specific for Southland, then we won't get that inflow of new brains and capability to help farmers get across the line. So we really strongly recommend that whilst it's great having it really specific and regionalised, we do want to make sure that we're still linked to the rest of the country.
I'm not quite following the point you're making there.
In
your comment you made that we made a comment about overseer, I don't recall making a comment about overseer.
Yeah, there was a, you were questioning
when you say you, do you mean the me
panel.
As chairperson or the panel?
No,
someone
no.
In the panel.
No, it's not personal. Certainly not. No, it was just the question whether there was another nutrient modelling system out
right.
there, yeah, to support farming. Good evidence.
Yes, understand.
That's all, yeah.
No, I think there's recognition that overseer is the best we've got. That's been endorsed by at least two environment court decisions, and it'd be a brave council that departs from that.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
That's all right.
David, have you got anything else?
Yeah, I think that one thing that the council have done well over the last few years since Rodford have come on board is tried or endeavoured to rule by the carrot instead of by the stick. We need to build on this. You know, the vast majority of farmers are pretty good custodians of the land. Some of them just don't actually know what best management practice is. A good example of that is because they've been doing it for the last 10, 20, 50, 100 years, things like deer care holes, deer sheep holes, you know, really common, but it's not good enough. So we've got to change, but give them a lead-in phase. You know, good, innovative practice takes a good, solid 7 years to adopt. We can't do it overnight. Give us time. Good lead-in phase. Keep the consent simple. Simple is always best. Hard job. Good luck on that, guys. And sort of looking forward to all this as a farmer, as a responsible farmer. I think what we're going to, the outcome of this is going to make Southland a pristine and prosperous province that it needs to be.
Any questions? We'll see if we have questions for you. Morris, we'll start at your end of the table.
Well, thank you. Yes, thanks again. Well, this document we produced today is quite a lot more detail than what your original submission did. So I'm just sort of getting my head around some of that. The cost that you've got there on the top of page 5, and this is something that other people have brought up too, about the cost of the environment plan. Some people have thought it might be as much as $5,000. So where did you get your $1,500 from?
That was a standard cost that Dairy NZ had allocated to each farm. Yeah,
that's a Dairy NZ estimate.
Yeah. And that was a particularly for dairy farms.
So what comment have you got on the relationship or the relevance of the plan that's specified in Appendix N and other plans that dairy industry or sheep and beef might be promoting? Can they be interchanged with one another if one is made suitable? You see that as a way forward to provide a bit more flexibility and perhaps mean that we're not tied totally to one particular plan?
Absolutely, Morris, and that is a real issue going forward where one industry is being fully supported by a group such as Dairy NZ, and you know they've got, you know, basically they're going to subsidise it. Unfortunately, the sheep and beef perhaps don't have that same ability. So I think that definitely it needs to be accessible and actually even if able to be done by farmers themselves and being able to submit. I think that's, you know, the last comment about it being a living document is really, really important. It's not something that you chuck into the bottom drawer. This is something that is able to be updated, and preferably online, so that it is more accessible and it's interactive, absolutely.
Some people have suggested that the farm plan could replace consent sort of more or less totally. Is that something that you would have some support for or concerns about?
I think you'll find that's what Canterbury had initially thought, and unfortunately, through legislation that it wasn't possible, that there had to be a consent process from a legal point of view. There's no, you know, stick because of the consent process.
So you've either got a plan or you've got to have consent. So.
Yeah. And they do work hand in hand too. You know, it's something that you know that we see as working in conjunction, definitely.
Good. Thanks very much. Good luck with your methane plant too.
Yeah, good afternoon. I wasn't, not being from Southland, I wasn't quite sure what type of farms they were. I could see that dairy, and is the specialist grazing units, is that dairy grazing?
Mainly.
So you're familiar with resource consents, you've probably got resource consents.
I do.
One or two, and of course farm environmental plan. So you're submitting from that level of knowledge of how the that those processes work, so that's quite helpful. And these estimates are what the plan may impact on your
Property. Absolutely, that's right. And this is what we will be budgeting on. And you know, maybe there is the installing of measuring tools. You know, the suggestion is perhaps that instead of us doing that, that perhaps ES is putting measurement tools within the, you know, along the streams and waterways, so that, you know, that softens the implication or the implementation of the thing. Yeah.
From a daring perspective, you can see the benefits or the security and resource consents for your business.
If they're approved, absolutely. If they're approved, absolutely.
But equally, I can see what you're saying in terms of getting those farm environmental plans working effectively, that they're a good tool for the wider region who may not be dairy farmers, for the this potential for not to necessarily replicate resource consents right across all farming activities.
Yeah, so I think the question that you're asking is that would we like to entitize it? So that we could have, yeah, absolutely. Obviously there'll be certain farms that have, that are different in methodology or doing, grazing to as opposed to dairying, that has to be defined. But absolutely, if we can have it as a full entity, yeah. And likewise, going through and having a business plan for our overall company as well is really important. If you don't have a map or a plan, then how do you know where you're going?
Mm. We've actually been asking for that for a few years, if we could have sort of standardised consents for all the farms. Mm. For example, around the water take, there's probably about five or six different monitoring programs for different consents over all our farms. It would be way easier if there's just one.
Better certainty.
Mm. Easier to manage. Mm.
Thanks.
Right. thanks for that, David. Rule 23, you've got some comments here. I haven't read them all fully, but would you like just to briefly run over your key points in that on page 7?
Yeah. So in our initial submission was surrounding the old ruling, and there's been some updating. So just, it was really just around some of the grazing, the winter grazing aspect, and how we were going to be affected. We're pretty much, it's funnily enough, we actually do a lot of this already, but it's actually just putting it down on in a plan and in a map, making sure that we comply. And I think that the point is that David made a point just before about that instead of it being a certain area, that it has to be a percentage based on the whole land area. And that would be a lot better than we would see that as a lot better than a specific 50 hectares or 20 hectares, irrespective of how big the property is.
Are you happy that you've taken a very much a dairy approach to it, if I understand correctly, to Rule 23?
Yep.
Cattle.
So my question was really the bigger, wider picture. Are you still happy with what's in Rule 23? You look at the wider concept of wintering stock, not just your own dairy stock, but in the wider sense. I'm basically saying that there's a number of straight beef units out there that would be captured by this.
If
you had a beef unit as part of your dairy operation or a bull unit or whatever, and you came under the same rule, is your opinion the same as what you've indicated here?
And we have, yes. Yeah. Good example of this, common sense, Lloyd, education. To me, this is all common sense, but because I've sort of been educated, so how do we educate users to do common sense best practice? And the only way to do that is to educate. Knowledge.
Yeah. Thank you. No more questions, Chairman.
not a question, but just a comment. I understand what you're saying about the Environment Canterbury approach to nutrient user groups and farm enterprises, and that how that would suit an operation such as yourselves. Totally understand that. This Southland plan doesn't go there yet. It doesn't set nitrogen leaching entitlements yet. That's going to be done through the freshwater management unit process that this council is going to embark on between now and 2025. But I think the points you've made will be certainly borne in mind by the council as they get into that process. But other than that, no questions. Oh, just the other thing too, I don't think, as you probably know, Edward and I have been commissioners on the ECAN plans, at least six of them. Mr. McCallum Clark's been a reporting officer on the ECAN plans. And all I'd say is that some of those rules are very complicated. And we certainly wouldn't necessarily just want to mimic what's been done in there.
Simple.
All due respect.
Awesome.
Thank you very much. So we're now going to adjourn for afternoon tea. We'll come back at 3:20. Thank you.